Hi, I'm Tracy. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm 55 years old and 5'9", just to kind of put things in perspective. I come from a big family, but not in the way of numbers, but in size. I wanted to start out and just give you a verbal visual so that you understand as I go through my experience that this is what was in the back of my mind and how I viewed myself. There's a story about my higher power that there was a man that approached him that had impure spirits, and he lived among the tombs and no one could bind him and no one was strong enough to subdue him. And that came in the way of my pride and stubbornness for the most of my life. It said night and day as he was among the tombs that he would cry out and he would cut himself with stones. I only say that because as I go through my experience, what I did on a regular daily basis was cut myself with the broken parts of my life. My parents were 20 years old when they found out they were pregnant with me, and I was just there. They were just there. They had their own baggage and they brought it into their marriage, into the family. And we grew up heathen. There was no God. There was nothing that we worship. We just lived life. My parents both, my mom was a teacher and my dad was an Illinois state trooper. So they lived very public lives during work. So they would just come home and nobody came into our house. Nobody, we were just four strangers that lived in our house. Nobody really spent time teaching me anything or grooming me to be any kind of a human except for an athlete. I have two younger brothers. One's a year younger than me. He's 6'10" and he played basketball in college. My other brother is 15 years younger than me. He is 6'7". He was a football player and I played golf. Over time, my dad became my God. His rules became our life. It was all about perfection. And I thought that we never did without. But as I went through my food history, I realized that I grew up on non-foods. I hope none of these make you struggle, but I grew up eating sulfur off of matchsticks, chapstick, plants and flowers out of the yard, window caulking, Play-Doh. I would scream when I was young that I was so hungry. I chewed chunks out of my aunt's dashboard in her car several times. And I would chew chunks out of the back seat just because I was hungry. And then along the lines of the story, I felt like because I wasn't really connected with my family or anyone else, that I took on this, I don't know how else to say it, but like a demon of insecurity, because I felt like a demon is something that's alive and constantly picking at you and constantly tormenting you. And so I constantly felt like I was being picked at with insecurity. And then when I was in second grade, I had a learning disability. I couldn't read. They sent me down to the teacher and she said, "You're too pretty to be in here," and sent me back. So my learning disability was never dealt with. So I was very confused. When I was in third grade, my best friend and neighbor, he died in a train accident. And my family didn't know how to deal with death because both of my parents, my mom, her grandfather died on her 10th birthday. And then my dad's dad died on his 10th birthday. That was one of their baggage things that they just never understood for themselves. So they couldn't teach us how to deal with grief or depression. So then along came the demon of depression, and I was depressed and suicidal from 10 years old until about 24. But I kept pushing through life, kept playing golf, kept doing everything that my parents wanted me to do. My brothers and I, we grew up where we had to have the right friends, the right boyfriend or girlfriend, make the good grades, be the star athlete. And it was just a lot of pressure. I had a boyfriend in high school where we were sexually active and my parents put me on the pill. And you can think like, what does that have to do with this? But I was so skinny that all of a sudden I developed in 2 weeks. I gained 15 pounds. I had hips and chest. And all of a sudden the demon of lust became very active in my life as married men and teachers and coaches were very inappropriate. In today's day, they'd all be, you know, hung for their advances. That put a lot of pressure on me, just feeling an unhealthy view of myself and of them, and just the demon of worthlessness. that I was nothing but a toy. And in my dad's weird way of raising me, he was like, abuse them before they can abuse you. That took me to the point where I just stopped eating, because eating was the thing that really was the only thing I could control. At one point, I decided that I'd be a vegetarian, but nobody taught me what that meant. And so my health wise, I was very unhealthy. I had no protein in my diet, nobody to guide me. I literally would just stand in the kitchen and eat from a can, whatever came in a can, because we ate by ourselves. We didn't do anything else. When I got to college, I would live off of one jar of baby food a day and lots of coffee. I just constantly tortured my body. I punished my body because of the way that I felt about myself, the way that people made me feel about myself. I just got to the point where my organs, by the time I was 29, organs just started needing to be removed. I lost my appendix, my gallbladder, part of my back fused together. I lost my hearing. I had kidney stones, thyroid issues. Recently, in the last year, adrenal gland problems. And it was just all out of being hard on my body, both mentally, spiritually, and physically. Then I moved to Ohio when I was 25 and I got married. I've been married for, in December, it'll be 29 years. And I thought I was leaving the expectations of my dad behind, but they followed. I now had a new set of expectations for my husband. Everybody that he ever dated, they were all small, petite blondes. And I was close to black hair, 5'9", 138 pounds. And that was about the only thing. But whenever it came time to have kids, I physically, they were like, there's nothing wrong with you. You just need to gain weight. So then I started to eat things that I thought would be healthy. And when I did get pregnant, then I gained 10 pounds every month because my body was just devastated by eating any food. I never drank water. There were times when I wouldn't eat for 5 days and maybe just have one glass of water. Food was my punishment, but it was the only thing I could control. But the same time that I started to gain all this weight and have kids, then my husband started to drink. And I was a stay-at-home mom, and money started to get tough. The more that my husband would drink, the more his little creepy friends would come out of the woodwork when he was drunk. And that started the whole thing over again. As long as I weighed a lot when I was pregnant, then nobody paid attention to me. And that was refreshing. Then I just made sure that I didn't try to lose weight, because that was my safety coat. I had a coat of fat that was safe and protective. I felt very isolated and shamed. I realized, like, a lot of times food was my friend and I couldn't throw anything away, because that one little thing that would have been thrown away because it's rotten, I could relate with, and it became a person and it became my comfort. And it became all of these things that had nothing to do with nutrition or with eating of any kind of help to me when I would be hungry, because I spent so much time starving myself. I lived off of aspirin because I constantly had a headache from being dehydrated and I just didn't know it. 7 years ago, we moved an hour north of Columbus. It was a fresh start for my whole family. I have two kids, and my daughter, she was perfect. She still is perfect. She's 24. My son, he's the one that gave me all these gray hairs. He was very much into drugs and alcohol. And then he joined the Marines. And then he got married at the age of 19. He and his wife have been married for 3 years. But in that process, my husband was constantly telling me I needed to be healthy. He refused to push me around in a wheelchair. And so I started doing all of these diets, and I would lose weight, but I didn't have a way to keep it off. And one time I lost 35 pounds in 40 days, and that blew up my gallbladder. And then I did another one, and then my son got married a couple months later. Then my dad died, and I thought that would be freedom. But if anything, food became more important. And especially when my son was overseas in Iraq, food was very important, to the part where I didn't realize it, but all I could do was stand and look at the refrigerator and make sure it was all in there, because I didn't know how to deal with any of my feelings, because I didn't grow up learning feelings. Even pain and all of that was not something that bothered me. I was fine to endure pain. I was patient with it. I got to a low when my husband and my son were sitting in the living room. My son was only 17, and they're both just chugging alcohol. I just prayed out, like, something's got to change, because I can't do this anymore. My answer to the prayer was that he then realized it for himself and went to AA. And my husband's been sober for 5 years. And that was a great start. One day he came home and he said, well, there's a group called Al-Anon. Why don't you go to that? And when you walk in, you think you're going there to be able to fix the alcoholic, but you actually end up fixing yourself. That was the first time that I really felt like I could identify who I was, that I could like myself. I never got a sponsor. I tried to work the steps, but it didn't really stick. So after about a year, I left, because I didn't really feel any encouragement or strength and hope that they were speaking about, because I wasn't really partaking in the steps. And so then time passed. I read lots of self-help books and had life coaches and all that kind of stuff. And while my son was overseas, his birthday was May 22nd of 21, and I was up to 266 pounds. I was laying on my bed. My blood pressure was out of control. I couldn't catch my breath. My whole body ached. And my husband, for the third time, had just lectured me on how I really needed to get help. And a friend of ours had been successful in OA, and I really needed to take it seriously. And since it was the third time he had said it, and I was laying on the bed in absolute misery, I went ahead and I pulled up OA.org, and I ended up listening to every podcast, looking up every piece of literature. And the very first thing that one of the people had said was that, because I kept thinking, like, I get the alcoholic part. I understand staying away from alcohol, but how do you stay away from food? I already spent most of my life doing that, and I was tired of how that made me feel. So I decided to listen to these podcasts, and they were just like alcoholics don't eat, drink alcohol, but they drink other things. And it's a matter of finding those trigger foods that cause you to stumble, that cause you to struggle. And I had to admit that the three things that really weighed heavy on me, that I ate on every meal, I would combine them. One of them I was allergic to, but I ate anyway. And one of them was unhealthy. And then the other thing was just filler. And when I lost my gallbladder in 2017, two of those foods were the only thing that kept me stable. I was constantly sick, and my digestive system was messed up. You don't realize how much certain parts of your body are important until they're gone. I started to read the literature. There's one called Is Food a Problem for You? And it had lists in there of stuff that I had never thought of, but it so much spoke to my soul. And it really opened my eyes to see how much in denial I was of everything that was in my experience. I went to college. I have a degree in kinesiology, which is the study of human movement. So I know the body very well, but I don't know the nutrition part and how to take care of it. And then there's one on Introducing Overeaters Anonymous, Many Symptoms, One Solution. And that one just solidified that I need help and I'm in the right place, because all of a sudden there were things that just made so much sense. And it was just like all the places that I had been to in my life, because even like when I was 21, I became a Christian and I thought, okay, I can do this. God can help me. But I never gave that part of my life over to him. And so the hardest one of the literature that was the most important was to the family of the compulsive overeater. My mom and my mother-in-law would both make 5 pounds of my favorite food extra just for me on holidays, so that everybody else would be allowed to have some too. And so as I went through the literature, I was able to look at working the program, Dignity of Choice, and see what the variety of ways that people dealt with their eating habits. And I found one that I felt like worked for me. In the literature and in the different podcasts on just on the website for a month and a half, I realized, oh my goodness, this is working. And I lost 15 pounds. And then I decided I need to find a meeting and I need to find a sponsor, because that's what was missing the last time, because I need to work the steps. Because I got the books and started to try to read and get it, but I still had that barrier of myself and my stubbornness and my pride in the way. And so the only meeting that would work is this one. And the first time I went, I received the most comforting hug of my life. And I knew I was in the right place. And I took a picture of all the names and I went home and I prayed over them to figure out who I needed for a sponsor, because I didn't know anybody. And the names that kept popping up were can't sponsor, not available, not available. And so then I went back the next week and I did the same thing. And I prayed over the list and there was one name that kept popping up more. And I went back the next week. And that week I was like, okay, even though it says, you know, she can't sponsor, I'll just pray that I can build some kind of friendship outside of sponsoring to just at least get that help. Well, then after the meeting, I talked to her and she said, oh, I just had an opening. I can sponsor you. And that was just wonderful, because I had already done step zero and just realized I had no other choice. And then when I really started the steps with her, the steps that really stood out for me were step one of that I needed to surrender. I needed to surrender everything that I had learned in the last 54 years about myself, about life, and really put it down and decide I need to do this 110% so that I can get something from it and that I can save my life. Cause I felt like that was where I was at. I was in pain so much. My adrenal glands were so stressed out. And the funny thing is, once I started getting a good solid food plan and really looking into how to eat healthy, I realized that my trigger foods were on the list of things that I should not be eating in order to help my adrenal glands to be all right, because you can't really live without those. And I really felt like I was to the point where they needed to be removed or I just die, because they hurt for over a year. And once I took 3 months and just really focused on the things I needed to remove from my diet, that pain is now totally gone. And I'm just grateful that I had a sponsor that would work with me, with my physical being, to help me to see the different things that I could change and that I could practice or work with or experiment with in order to find the right thing. The other big thing was in step three, really understanding that even though I'd been a Christian for 30 years, the other part story is that the one who had been possessed by the legion of demons was sitting there dressed and in their right mind. And when we went through step three, that was the first time in my life I felt like, oh my goodness, I get this. I get life now. I get what being healthy and in your right mind and not insane is. And so then we kept going the steps, and step five came along. And just to be able to be 110% honest and open with every little thing, I had a freedom that I'd never had. And I felt like that was the point that the chains were broken and that I could live and like myself and be forgiven, because my sponsor forgave me and she could relate with me. And that brought so much strength to my program. And my test came with step 8 and 9, when I had to make amends. My dad was dead, so I had to find a way to make amends with him. And so I decided, since he died and he was about, he was 6'5", weighed about 500 to 600 pounds. That was his death. And my amends to him was that I would not follow in his footsteps, because basically at my highest weight, I was half his size. And I've lost 50 pounds in 1 year. Tomorrow will be my 1 year abstinence from my three main foods. I had a neighbor that was close to me and she had lost a lot of weight, and she would do this. For every pound she lost, she would hang a paper clip next to her refrigerator. So these are all the pounds that I lost. And then when I went to make amends with my friend, the week that I was really supposed to focus on that, she committed suicide. And I thought, okay, there goes my plan. There goes my program. But I was able to lose all of these pounds as well. And it was only because of the program and because I had to feel what all of those things were. And my husband, there's a lot of amends that I need to make, but we do that on a daily basis. And our marriage is better than it's ever been. And with that, my hope is that I've just been here for a year. I've just lost 50 pounds. I still have probably another 50 pounds I need to lose. And what I do is I stick with my sponsor. My sponsor, I send her my food plan every day. I try to stick with it. And I let her know when I need to change it. And that was a struggle because I wanted to be stubborn. I wanted to have some control, but because that's what I did was I controlled my food. She helped me to see that God had put her in my life for a reason. And I needed to go back to step one. If I ever felt like I couldn't handle what she was saying to me, I needed to go back and redo the steps. She also gave me an inventory, and that inventory has my specific defects. These are my defects. She helped me to write them out on a card, but on the other side of the card, I write out what I want to replace my defect with. And that's what I use during my spiritual time in my steps, is to really focus on how can I bring about solutions to get rid of the defects, to allow God to remove them, but for me to be able to replace that with something that's helpful. Going into the future, I'm only as strong as the next 24 hours, but this group, I don't usually turn on my voice. I don't usually turn on the photo part because I'm usually working overtime. And again, that's another thing that I push my body to work overtime mentally and physically. It's kind of hard, but through group, I'm realizing that this is not something I can let go of. My desire is to continue to learn. I love hearing the leads. I love hearing people's comments. I don't want to comment because I'm a baby, and I want to hear those who are mature in their walk with the steps, their experience, their encouragement, their strengths, their hope. And what I've been doing this year, I've been testing, like I'll fast from something for a month to see if that's something that's holding me back. One month I focused on humbleness. This month I'm focusing on recovery. And I think that that's why I got to share my story today, was because then that way it helps me to complete the steps as far as really understanding what it means to serve in this way. I've been a chair in the Al-Anon ones before. And so like there's different ways that I've served, but sharing this was hard because I had to do it without all of my defects. I had to set those aside and push through and not just put on this perfect, hold the emotions together, think I had to teach you something. This is just my story. And I've learned a lot from everybody. I've learned a lot from my sponsor. I have sponsees. And I've just been blessed with all of you. And I so much look forward to whenever we can be face to face, because Zoom is the most intimidating thing that I've ever had to deal with. And with that, I just thank you for your time, and I pass.